from the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Well, what an exciting hour we have for you, because I have been talking a lot about this new photograph that is creating quite a buzz around the world. You know, last year I released my report on the White House ghost photograph that I believe shows Abraham Lincoln. And that's a photograph that was taken in 1950. And once that report came out, I was hoping I would get more information about other presidential ghosts that may be photographed. So you can imagine my delight when I was contacted by Lisa Mulden. Now, Lisa is a woman who has been interested in the presidents for many, many years, and we're going to talk to her about her special talent that she has for actually communicating with the spirits of past presidents. And she put this to use last December. She was at the tavern there called the Middleton Tavern in Annapolis, Maryland. Now, this is a building that's been around since 1740, has been an active tavern since 1750, a place where all the forefathers used to go meet, the Freemasons used to meet. It was a favorite hangout for George Washington. And on December the 6th of 2015, she was there with a small group having a party, which we'll talk about. And she snapped this photograph, which you can see right now at joshuapwarren.com, and you'll see some analysis there. But furthermore, you can go to her website, presidentialsouls.com, because she has a book coming out soon about what the messages are that the presidents want to share with all of us today. And we're going to talk more about those messages soon. So it is a great thrill to have her with us this evening. Lisa Mulden, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. And now, Lisa, is this the first time you have gone on the radio talking about your photograph?
This is really exciting, yes.
Wonderful. Well, I'm delighted to be, you know, continuing to help break this, what I feel is an amazing story. And just to reiterate for everybody what I said in the first hour of the show, when Lisa sent this photograph to me, and I see thousands of supposed paranormal images every year, I immediately knew that this one looked authentic. And Lisa sent all the details regarding the photograph. She sent the original picture. My team and I analyzed it. We were able to look at all the metadata. We can tell you right down to the second, the minute, the hour, when she took the picture, the direction the camera was pointed, the elevation, all the data one would hope to have to analyze a picture. And we believe that this is a true ghost photograph. And before we dig into this photograph, let's talk a little bit about you, Lisa. Tell everybody, generally speaking, you know, where you're from, where you are, and your description of what you do.
Sure. I live in Maryland. I've lived in Maryland all my life. I was born in Pennsylvania, but been in Maryland most of the time. I live in Ellicott City, which is a very haunted city, so I don't have to go far to do any ghost hunting. And for some time, I'm a Reiki master, and things have accelerated, especially I've noticed since 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar, things have changed. There's been a tremendous shift. And I could see auras and things before, but all of a sudden I looked at somebody and I could see a hat. I'm like, whoa, what is this? And I didn't know what it meant. So I started to explore it. I looked at everybody's hat, all my friends, my coworkers, and I began to see what it was all about. And I figured out that it is a way to do a paranormal psychological analysis. So I can tell you a lot about a person by looking at their head. And I do that soul to soul. So my soul talks to your soul. So one day I wondered, well, I wonder if I can do it on people on the other side. So I tested it out on my dad, and it was successful. He gave me signs, and then I got a visitor, and it was Abraham Lincoln. And I figured out, and I explain this in the book, how it all came about, that he wanted me to, they have messages, and they came forward, and they want their messages heard.
And so, now, what is your profession, Lisa?
My day job, I do accounting,
Okay. And I think that's important because it shows that you're a person who is very fact-oriented and
you're very
organized. Yeah, and I like that because I could tell when we first started corresponding, you were great about getting very specific data to me. And so I think that is what makes your work even more intriguing. And now when you say that you could look at someone and see a hat, are you talking about sort of a halo, or do you literally see what looks like, say, a fedora or something?
I literally see a hat. So
Okay. Instead
of I can see your aura color, but auras can change, and they can change depending on your health, your emotions. The hat I see is what you're currently wearing. That's not to say it might change, but it's what you're currently wearing. And on the people that I know, and I looked at their hat, particularly some family members, it explained a lot. I mean, it really did. And it gave me a better understanding. Oh, this is why this person acts the way they do. So it's made a lot of sense. And now that I've done the president, in the book, I look at the hat, and then I look at their history. Because, I mean, I know George Washington and some of the others, but a lot of the others, I couldn't tell you anything about them other than maybe they were president. So I looked at their history after to see, does the hat match what I found? And I found some amazing things.
So now the first president who actually appeared for you was Abraham Lincoln. Tell us about that incident. What happened?
Well, I started feeling, I feel spirits around all the time. And so that's nothing new. But this one was rather insistent. At night, he'd be walking back and forth in front of the bed. And I'm like, okay, I know you're there, but I'm not sure who you are and what you want. So then one day I was in my bathroom and there's a tile floor. And it's like somebody jumped up behind me and jumped down. My son was on the floor below me. There was nobody else home. And he ran upstairs, and he's like, Mom, are you okay? Did you drop something? Did you fall? I said, no, I'm fine. They're just trying to get my attention. He's like, oh, okay. And went back to his video games because he's very intuitive also. And finally, through a process, I figured, I couldn't believe it was Abraham Lincoln. You know, why would Abraham Lincoln want to visit me? But it turns out that I had been toying with the idea of looking at famous people. And, you know, they know our thoughts way in advance of what, you know, they can project out what the outcome is going to be long in advance before we can figure it out. And he wanted me to do all of the presidents. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is going to be a big project. So I tried a few to see how it was going to work. And when I do a reading, it's like I get to know them personally. And it was just an incredible experience. I really feel like I know these people.
And so what did Abraham Lincoln communicate to you?
He wanted me to do the book. He said, go for it. Because the first message I got was go, and I'm like, go where? And I wasn't getting it. So then I got it. He's saying go for it because I had already been thinking about doing the book. And that's what he wanted. He wanted me to go for it, do the book. So I'm like, oh, well, okay. And like I said, it became quite a project, but it was also a lot of fun, except for one that I told you about that's not so good, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is an enormous task. And when Lincoln showed up and inspired you and gave you the confidence to go forward, at that point, what was your process like for, you know, gathering this information? How did you approach this monumental task?
I set up a template for each president. I looked up, you know, I just put all I wanted was a picture of their face. Just to put something in my mind, the ones that I didn't know, obviously. I set up a template for each president, and then I just went by one by one and did the reading. And then after I had all the readings, a couple of them started giving me messages. Now, I wanted to make sure after each reading, now, did I get it right? Is this right in the beginning when I was unsure? So I actually made a pendulum board, which is like a Ouija board, but I use a pendulum. And I would just start out saying, is this correct? Do I have the right hat? And they started giving me messages. And I figured out pretty early on that this was their second purpose, was they want these messages out. So I included the messages, and then I would do sort of a little search on their history. And I wanted to keep the book short. I wanted it to be something that you can just pick up, quick read, okay, got it. And now you know the soul of the person that you're about to vote for. Because I did the presidents, I did some top presidential candidates.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back from this break, I'm going to ask Lisa specifically what happened on Sunday, December 6th of 2015, when she captured this photograph of what appears to be the first president of the United States, George Washington, at one of his most prominent hangouts, the Middleton Tavern in Annapolis, Maryland. Once again, her website is presidentialsouls.com, and we'll have that linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's, 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back.
A smile from a veil. Think you can tell?
Tonight we are digging into the mystery of the human soul, the energy of spirit, on Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and let me just tell you a few things about George Washington. He was born 1732. He died December 14th of 1799. And Washington was a spiritually sensitive man. We know that because he was a very enthusiastic Freemason. And, of course, my museum, the Asheville Mystery Museum, is in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. And one of the requirements to be a Freemason is you have to believe in a power greater than man, which most Masons interpret as some kind of a spiritual supreme being. And Washington joined his Masonic Lodge in Fredericksburg, Virginia, at the age of 20 in 1752. During the War for Independence, he attended lots of Masonic celebrations and observances. At his first inauguration in 1791, Washington took his oath of office on a Bible from St. John's Lodge in New York. During his two terms, he visited Masons in North and South Carolina, and he presided over the Masonic Cornerstone Ceremony for the U.S. Capitol in 1793. And, you know, after he retired, I mean, he sat for a portrait in his Masonic regalia. In death, he was buried with Masonic honors. He was a man who attended church. He was a man who wrote about the importance of prayer. And there are some really interesting things that happened in his life. When he was 23 years old, he was serving in the French and Indian War, and he was under a British officer named Braddock. And at one point, the group was ambushed by French and Indian soldiers, and they just got pretty much annihilated. But Washington was fearless. He jumped on his horse and was on the front lines riding around trying to rally the troops as they were just being, again, destroyed. And amazingly, he had two horses shot from underneath him. And when the smoke had cleared, his coat was pierced with four different bullet holes, but he was unscathed. It was almost like he had a force field around him. And he, I believe his whole life, he honestly trusted in a higher sort of power, because he was a rational guy, and rationale alone would not have allowed someone like Washington to believe the revolution could be won, because the British Empire was too powerful. The only way he could have achieved what he did was to have put faith in some spiritual or mystical power. And so it's not surprising that he might still be sticking around in spirit form to see what's happening in the United States in this day and age. And Lisa Molden, she has been in contact with the spirits of the presidents, including, of course, Washington. And she's joining us right now from Maryland. Her website is presidentialsouls.com. Lisa, tell us about what happened to you on Sunday, December the 6th of last year, 2015.
So we were there celebrating a birthday, and I had just finished my manuscript. It was done. It was a celebration, and I'd never been to a restaurant. And my brother-in-law, who worked in the state house, he said he recommended this restaurant because of its history. So I said, let's go there. It's somewhere different. So as soon as I walked in, I could feel the spirit activity. And we were taken over to a table, and I looked up, and there's a picture of George Washington, and beside him is Martha Washington. And I just kind of mentally said, hey, George, hey, Martha, how you doing? And we happened to be seated so I could see them. So right away I acknowledged them, and he did not let me down. I wasn't trying to take any pictures of ghosts or anything. The restaurant had Cherry's Jubilee and Bananas Foster for dessert. And my kids were with us, and they'd never had it. And I said, let's have that. It's, you know, a celebration. So the wait person was making it, and that's what I was taking pictures of. I was waiting for the flame, you know, go up and everything. So I was taking pictures of her preparing the dessert. And the funny thing is, I took the picture on my phone, and normally I download the photos from my phone maybe twice a year, maybe. And it was Sunday night, it was late, I had to get ready for work the next day, and I just kept feeling, download the pictures. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm like, no, okay, fine, because I've learned to listen. I downloaded the pictures, here it's almost 11 o'clock at night, I start yelling, I'm like, oh my God, look what I found, you know, because I couldn't believe it. And I wanted my husband and my son, I'm like, look at this, you know, this is incredible. And just to verify that I was seeing what I was seeing. And I was just so excited because I knew that was George Washington. I didn't even have to look closely. I knew it. And so the wall that's directly across from where he is his picture.
Hmm.
And that cavern was great. You have to go upstairs. The restrooms are upstairs. And they have like a little room. It's got a door. And I was peeking in the door. It has a private bar. And I could just feel them sitting around the table planning and plotting and playing cards. And it just has so much atmosphere. You knew they were there. Benjamin Franklin used to go there. Thomas Jefferson. And you could just feel it.
And of course, when you look at the image in your photograph and you compare it to the traditional profile of Washington, it really does look like him. And I want to point out, this is something that I have on joshuapwarren.com where there is some enhancement. Some people contacted me and said, hey, it looks like he's wearing glasses. But I want to clarify that even though in his older years, Washington did sometimes wear spectacles. In this case, that's an optical illusion. It looks kind of like he may have glasses on because the boundary around his body is very fuzzy, and there is a lighting fixture behind him, and you can see part of that fixture that happens to be right at his eye line, and which is perfect because, you know, Lisa sent me control photographs where I was able to look at the scene without him in it, so I was able to compare. And so what we're seeing, again, is further evidence that this is a fuzzy, translucent, ghostly form as opposed to a regular solid figure like you clearly see when you look at other people in the image. Now, Lisa, I had also contacted you and said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if the restaurant had some kind of security footage that might have captured him at the same time? And what happened when you contacted the tavern about that?
Well, I called and I asked for the manager, and she said, no, we don't have any cameras. But one of the restaurant patrons today just showed me the picture, and everybody's talking about it. And she said, people are coming in saying, I saw the picture here, you know, it was taken here. So they're very excited.
So, yeah, that's cool. And so
yes.
Now so many other people are going to be taking pictures trying to get something like you got. And it's going to be great to see what might come in from this. And you know, it's funny because when I was on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie recently, I was talking about the fact that, hey, by simply showing up like this, a presidential figure may give us some opportunity or some inspiration to start discussing who that person was, what that person's mission was, and it triggers and stimulates this whole dialogue about what the country is supposed to be, and it's a very crucial time for us to dig in to that very issue. So we're going to take another break. When we come back from this break, folks, I'm going to ask Lisa, after talking to all these different presidential figures since the inception of the country, what, if any, is the general message that comes across? Is there some kind of a cohesive message that we're all supposed to get right now? Is there some kind of guidance? Obviously, these were flawed men. These were men who were often hypocrites in many ways, but they at least created a system that gave us the flexibility to perfect our country. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina, and I hope you will keep the number to Wright's on your refrigerator where it belongs, 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. If you visit speakingofstrange.com, there is a link to Wright's Coin Shop, as well as Lisa Molden's new book. It's called Presidential Souls. It's presidentialsouls.com. And when do you expect the book to be released, Lisa?
Well, as a matter of fact, I got my final round of edits from the publisher today. That's prophetic. And it shouldn't, a month maybe, but hopefully not quite that long.
All right. Well, you know, there are a lot of people chomping at the bit to read this book, and we are certainly going to do everything we can, continue doing everything we can to get the word out there about it. So let me just ask you, I know this, you know, you have collected a monumental amount of information, and the history of the United States is a very volatile history that has gone through many different stages, but when you listen to the most prominent voices that are coming through from past presidents, is there some kind of a general message that we are supposed to receive as a society in this day and age at this point in time?
That would be a resounding yes. That is their end game. They want this message to be heard. And that message is revolution. And they name their pick, who they want, who they feel would be best for this country. And, no, they were not perfect men, but they all did have one thing in common. They loved the United States. And when I do a hat reading, I'm not just seeing a hat. I feel their emotions. Some I had to break off because it was so sad and heart-wrenching. I'm feeling their emotions. I'm crying. I can't stop crying because they're so sad. Some are happy, some are fun, but some are heartbreaking. But with all of them, they have all come forward, even a couple who were reluctant to come forward because they love the United States. And that is why they've come forward, to show their concern. And, you know, I mean, that's their purpose. And so, George Washington, his message for the picture, I said, why did you come forward? He said, so people see us. They want you to see them, hear them. No, they are here with us.
Wow.
And so now, do they feel like this revolution can actually transpire if there is a particular candidate elected, or does it take something more than that? I mean, how specific are they getting?
A particular candidate.
Okay, and of course, obviously, I want you to feel very comfortable communicating their message, because this is not a political show. We're not going to debate politics.
No.
But what are you getting from them? Who are they saying?
Well, if I say, then some people might not want to read the book because it's not going to be their candidate. But I will say that I was never into politics. Never. I voted. That was a right I felt strongly about. But I was never into politics. And now they have me so fired up. So because I looked at the candidate's souls, and it makes sense. When you look at their souls, it makes sense. So one in particular stands out. There's one reason and one reason only that he wants to be president. He loves the United States. And
I think I know who it is.
That is it. There is no other reason. And you cannot lie to me. If you try to lie, some of the presidents played games. They were funny. They were hysterical. And I'm like, no, come on. That is not your hat. And because I'll know whether it's right or not. But so I know whether this is the true hat or not. And the feelings I got were, yes, his devotion. This is his soul's purpose. It's his driving force. So,
do you think that this person is going to become the president?
I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah.
We both know there is evil. I believe this is a fight between good and evil. This is it, because what they're telling me is going to happen if we don't get back on track. It's the end. It's World War III. It's the equivalent of the end of the Mayan civilization. I mean,
so,
it's not just, oh, well, it's bad.
So now, if these presidents are all coming forth and they're telling you we are right there on the precipice of absolute disaster, in our opinion, unless this person is president, do you feel that you have a certain responsibility, whether people like it or not, to pass that message along? I mean, I understand...
Yes.
The sensitivity. Do you say in your book who it is, or?
Yes, I do.
You do say in your, okay, so you do say in the book.
And it becomes crystal clear.
Okay. So, well, that's good, because obviously they would be very frustrated if they told you and you didn't tell everybody.
And actually it was William McKinley that made me change my mind, because I was only going to put in the presidents in the past, the ones who were on the other side, because of some readings of the living presidents. I had decided I'll only do the ones on the other side. McKinley was not having any of that. He had a fit, and he told me so in no uncertain terms, and I thought, so I changed it because of him. And President Nixon, he just spelled it right out. So, and I'll tell you, Nixon, he's incredible. He is incredible. So I went with it, and I said, okay, I'm going to put it out there. And here's your message. I'm not holding back.
Okay, so in order to give people a better, like, clearer idea of what you're doing and how you are communicating, and this is not just being egocentric here, but you mentioned off the air that you did a reading on Sam without even knowing who Sam was, and one on me. You told us about the one on Sam, and it kind of made the hair stand up on the back of our necks. It was so incredibly accurate. So would you mind repeating what you said about Sam and then telling us what you picked up on me so that people understand more about what you're doing and how this works?
Okay. So I was trying to do you, and it was actually the third time I'd come back to you because you were tricky. And I kept getting different things I didn't understand. Once I got it, it made sense, but you were tricky. So in anticipation of the program, I said, you know what, let me just try. I had gotten in the email that Sam, the producer, would call me. I said, let me do Sam because it's much easier when I don't know anything about a person. I didn't even know if Sam was a Samantha or a man. So I figured out, I decided he was a man. And I did a reading on him, and his was easy. He came in riding a bicycle, an old bicycle, like from Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. And he's happy, and he's doing tricks and a loop-de-loop. And I'm like, yeah, you're really good with that bicycle. And he was wearing a small plaid black and white newsboy cap. And I said, great, got it. And he said goodbye. I said goodbye. And he left. He went up on one wheel, the front wheel of the bicycle. I'm like, yeah, you're really good. You're good. So he's very proud of me.
And that's like the one trick that I do know how to do.
So Sam, tell us after what she said. I mean, and you're just repeating because I heard this for myself what you said when she told you this off the air. What is your reaction to what she has said?
Well, I do have a large collection of freestyle bikes, like trick bikes. not like, you know, Butch Cassidy era, but I do have a lot of bicycles, and when I do take them out, I do tricks on them. And the one trick I can only do, really, at this age, is like the endo, where you go up on your front wheel. And she had mentioned something about like a Newsies-style page boy, like British driving cap that I usually always wear here in the studio. Yeah, and she wouldn't have known that.
The reason the bike is old is because you did that in a past life.
Oh, okay.
Why you love it now.
Oh.
So that's where it came from.
I could have been the first freestyle biker.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Okay, well, so, and we're up on our next break. And by the way, folks, I have known Sam for many, many years, long before he became the producer
many
of
Speaking
of Strange. And I didn't even know. I knew he was into bicycles, and he had a collection of bicycles. I didn't know about his little cap and all that. So, I mean, that's pretty astounding. So when we come back from this break, believe it or not, this is going to be our last segment because this hour, as I knew it would, has flown by. We're going to see two things. Number one, what Lisa says about my cap. And number two, what final message that she wants to pass along to all of you from the presidents tonight as we anxiously anticipate the release of her new book, Presidential Souls, at presidentialsouls.com. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange. And we are in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Now, keep in mind, next hour of the show is what we call the Dark 30 Hour, when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial subjects, more sordid and seedy news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So stick around if you want to hear that kind of content. Right now, I am wrapping up a conversation with Lisa Mulden. Boy, did it fly by quickly. She's the author of the new book, Presidential Souls. Her website is presidentialsouls.com. And first off, let's get back to this before we, you know, go to the final big message here, Lisa. When you were looking at my hat, what did you find?
Okay, you were tricky. And the reason you were tricky is because you are like a chameleon. So on the third attempt to get your hat, I was given something that I said, okay, now I've got it. Because there is a lot of symbolism, and I'll get, your soul is going to give me something that I can understand. So I saw Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream coat, his dream coat. I saw all these colors. I said, okay, I've got it. So you interpret all types of phenomena like Joseph interpreted dreams. And you are like a chameleon that you get so into these investigations that you actually take on the persona of the things and people that you're investigating. So you become like a chameleon, and you can change colors to suit your investigation, what you're talking about, what you're doing. And that's why you're so difficult, because your hat actually changes to something that you're working on. But your main hat is a top hat, because you're a showman. So that came out, but then you switched it up and moved on, and you like to do all these different things.
Hey, you know what? That's pretty darn good, Lisa. It's like P.T. Barnum meets Andy Kaufman meets Nikola Tesla.
yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful. And okay, so I'm glad that you said that about myself and Sam, so people get a better idea of just how precisely you're able to pick up on these different, you know, energies and interpret them. And so that said, you know, we've got a few minutes left to wrap up this this interview. So tell everybody, what is the ultimate, most important message that you want to leave us all with, given that you are the mouthpiece for all of these spiritual presidential figures who are telling us this is the most important time they've ever seen?
The presidents want you, first of all, to read the book. Don't go to the end. Don't, you know, say, okay, all right, I don't agree with her. That's it. You need to read, and it's a quick read, so that you can at least appreciate the process and understand the process and trust the process, so that when you get to your candidate, that maybe you can look at it and say, well, yeah, maybe. Because your soul knows the truth, and you don't need to be able to read somebody's hat to know the truth. You know the truth. You know when you're standing somewhere and feeling like somebody's looking at you, but there's nobody there. You feel it. When you meet somebody and all of a sudden you just immediately don't like them, you know it, but then you brush it off. So don't brush this off. Look at it. Try to look at it objectively if you don't agree, and look at the soul of the person that is about to be the leader of this country that will change history one way or the other.
And so, Lisa, when you're talking to, say, George Washington versus Abraham Lincoln, because Washington is an older spirit, does that make a difference, or does his come through just as strong?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there is no time over there. Some of them are still, they were just assassinated. There is no time. So you have to eliminate the time concept completely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're feeling, but George Washington, he is quite the comedian, let me tell you. He is a trip. And Abraham Lincoln, he's fabulous. So, but like I said, some of them are very sad. Some of them who we don't see as good presidents were just wonderful, very warm. It just wasn't their time, but they feel very bad about it. So they're as individual as we are, and we keep our personalities. And going to the other side doesn't mean it solves all the problems, trust me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them still feel pain and hurt.
Wow. And well, you know, Lisa, you know, the clock has got us, but I just want to reiterate, you know, what you are doing is absolutely fascinating work. And the photograph that you captured, I believe, was captured in part in order to help bring your work to the forefront, because people want visuals. They want to see something. And this photograph has really allowed people to latch on to something that makes them curious and want to learn more, and opens up this whole wider range of information that you're tapping into. So when your new book, Presidential Souls, comes out, I hope that I'll get one of the very first copies, and you know that I'll be doing whatever I can to spread the word, because it's important. And I'm just, you know, really honored that you have chosen me to send the picture to, and that you've chosen this program to come on first to talk about it. So we'll continue to be in touch, and thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I loved it.
My friends, that was Lisa Molden. The book is called Presidential Souls, and the website is presidentialsouls.com. Linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com. When we come back, it'll be the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The night show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange.